Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we feature Willie and Joe Allison, the organizers of the World Game Protection Conference, on how they are preparing to present the event for the first time in almost 3 years. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at igt.com/peak. She said that living with me is bringing her down, yeah. For she would never be free when I was around. For 16 years, the World Game Protection Conference was the place to be to learn all about the latest issues and trends in casino security and surveillance. One of gaming's most interesting events, the WGPC, attracts security and surveillance executives from all jurisdictions, as well as casino officials who want to understand how to improve their operations. Willie and Joe Allison talk about how the pandemic impacted the show. In 2020, it was scheduled to be held just days after the casino industry shut down for the first time in Nevada, and 2021 was a wash as well. Now the 2022 show, scheduled for February 15th through 17th at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, had added multiple speakers and sessions, and now includes a full day of training for those in the security surveillance and any other department responsible for risk management. They spoke with me last week from their temporary home in Mexico. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guests today are Willie and Joe Allison, the producers of the World Game Protection Conference. And guys, it's great to see you, and especially you, Joe. We know you've been behind the scenes all these years, and I'm glad we're able to give you the visibility you deserve.
Thanks so much, Roger. Great to be here, and to see you as well.
It's good to see you, Roger. Thanks for having us, mate.
And she's much prettier than you anyway, Willie, right?
Thank you, Will. I know that, yeah.
Well, congratulations on bringing the World Game Protection Conference back to Las Vegas. It's been a couple of years, and it must have been a tough couple of years for you. So give us the details of how that came to be.
Oh, my God. Well, we were going to have our 2020 show in March, right. 2020, obviously, mm-hmm. And right. We were all ready to go, and 11 days out, Nevada shut down. Yeah. So we had to put it off, and at that stage, we postponed it.
Right.
I think our thinking was, you know, this is something the country will get on top of quickly, and we postponed it to October, and then as the year went by, it sort of got worse, so we ended up canceling it.
Right.
And we made the decision at the end of last year we would start again, take the year off, and, you know, we'd come back to our usual pattern, which is February and March each year.
Right.
So when we have the show in February, the dates are the February the 15th through the 17th, it'll be 3 years since we've had a show.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's been impacted at least 18 months, but for 3 years, that's a long time for you guys. So we're excited about it coming back. I always tell everybody it's my favorite show in the industry, so I'm excited to go there. So it's going to be at the Tropicana? That's a different location?
It's at the Trop.
Yes, it's at the Tropicana. Uh-huh. They were really understanding. They were good to us when we did have to make that very heartbreaking decision to cancel the show, right? Even after we'd rescheduled it. So, you know, we're loyal. We're back at the Trop, and we think this is a great venue for us because one of the great things it allows us to do is to have more space than we actually need.
Sure.
And especially going on, we don't want to say the C word, but, you know, it's great to be able to spread people out.
Yeah,
so we're basically got twice as much space as we need. They've been very accommodating with that. We're in the showroom, for goodness sakes, for the conference, for the 2 days of the actual conference. So, it's a cool environment.
Well, it's nice to also get your attendees actually on the Strip, you know, so that afterwards they can have dinner or whatever on the Strip. They're not stuck in one. You were at the M Resort, which is a beautiful resort, but again, you're way up in the in the sticks.
It's quite the Uber ride, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, we were out there for 7 years. So it is good to be back on the Strip. I think everybody loves coming to Vegas. They love coming to the Strip, right?
Right. So you mentioned the C word. I mean, we have to talk about the COVID restrictions. How are you going to handle them?
What we say right off the bat is we're going to comply. We're going to comply with whatever the property, the local authorities and, you know, state CDC guidelines are. As I just mentioned before, you know, we already had it in place that we were going to spread everyone out. We're going to have a lot of room, a lot of space for everyone. We've done a couple of other tweaks as well. We've always had a printed show guide, for example. We're going contactless with that. We're going to push that, you know, push that app on through. Right. And we think that's a good idea, because if there's any sort of emergencies, anything we need to reach out to people, we'll be able to do it right, you know, in real time.
Sure.
So we also have, we think it's a new, we've coined a phrase. We're having, instead of the expo booths, we're having expo suites.
Okay.
So we've actually added a little bit extra meeting space onto each of the booths that are reserved. So again, it's just all about giving people a little bit more space, a little bit more, you know, walking and breathing and talking room.
Yeah, well, that's going to be nice for sure. So, you know, you put on this show for so many years, and it's been kind of a way you've done it every year. But you've got a few different things this year. Let's just talk about let's start with the core training. I really am impressed with that.
Okay, well, look, we've been doing this 16 years now, right? We started in 2006, and I sort of, as a conference organizer, it's important to me that every year is different. I kind of look at each show is like a musician looks at making an album, right? Bring a whole bunch of different people. And I know a lot of conferences out there, they tend to just sort of have the same people back every year. And I guess that's fine, but we like to throw in new things. So during the break, it gave us, gave me a lot of time to think, well, both of us.
Yeah, I was thinking too.
we were both thinking, right? And I was thinking, well, what does the industry need right now? Where is it going, right? So right off the bat, we decided to expand the scope of the show.
Right.
The name of the show is World Game Protection Conference, and for the first 15 years, it was all about game protection. Right. When we looked around and we looked at the news and we saw the increase in casino security issues and compliance issues and casinos shutting down for cyber attacks, we realized that there's a lot more now, especially in the surveillance field, right? They're looking at a lot of stuff. So we've expanded it to operational risk in general, and we're going to cover all these things. So the other thing we looked at is, where do people go for training now? There is no standard on it. And what we did was we created a day of just 8 3-hour training seminars under the banner of CORE. CORE stands for Casino Operational Risk Education.
Okay.
And we have 8 specific subjects, and I've invited along 8 fantastic teachers that are experts in their field, and they're covering subjects that generally surveillance managers deal with every day, but also other risk management areas, gaming manager areas. This table game protection, electronic game protection, risk management, all sorts of stuff like that. So in one day, there'll be 24 hours of training, 4 tracks, 4 seminars in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. And what we hope to do is have that recognized. So if somebody over the next few years goes and sees or goes through each seminar, they'll be recognized through certification or something like that. So it's a bit of a smorgasbord of training. And also, the other thing we realized that right now, people that come to our conference, we'd often get people that have possibly been in the business like 30 years.
Sure.
We'll get some that have been in the business 3 months. Now, so how do you train to that, right? So you got to have a starting point. So the seminars range from basic through to advanced subjects. And it's all compact in the one day. So that's what CORE is. We hope that it can, if it's popular, and you have to enroll for the classes also. We have a restricted class size because it is teaching. Unlike a comp where we get into the theater, right? We want it to be a good learning experience. So our hope is this will be around every year and people will know it's there.
Right.
So that's CORE. A little bit about the second day, because each day has a theme, right? So you've done your training, you've learned a little bit about operational risk in casinos. The next day we invite all these guests, mainly from outside the industry, that can give their sort of their perspectives on topics or issues that the industry is being confronted with right now. Some of those subjects are things like money laundering, human trafficking, the cyber attacks, sports betting is big, problem gambling. And we bring in interesting people that can give us some sort of different insight into it, a different look at it, right? Sure. And that's done in the theater. It's a general session.
Right.
So everybody sees that. And then the third day, I call it industry day. That's where we, after 2 days of learning, we reel it all back in. And the 4 hours in the morning is sort of, I'm calling a huddle, mm-hmm. right? We've got a couple of very relevant subjects, facial recognition. We've invited a scientist to come and talk about the science behind it and audio on table games. But then we're having a 100-minute discussion led by a vice president of casino ops. We're actually going to look at, and this is, I think, this is where we look at COVID, and this is where we look at operational policies that casinos have had for 30, 40 years, or they just introduced in the last 18 months because of COVID. And we're going to have an interactive discussion on, hey, what should stay and what should go?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we finish the afternoon off with, you know, hopefully some motivation and a good, happy note with some inspirational talks.
Sure.
And so that's it. So there's a theme for each day.
Mm-hmm. So you've been, always have a great attendance there. I mean, you've had, you know, several hundred people every year. And this year, you know, with the great resignation going on and, you know, people not coming back to their jobs, but also the casinos don't want to lose people. Are you seeing them, you know, enroll more people at your event because they want them to you know, feel like they're valued because they need this extra training?
You know, signups have been, I guess, on par, maybe a little lower than a normal year. And, you know, we're hearing the same stuff. There's been a lot of turnover,
right?
Resignation. There are still some that have an issue with traveling and so forth. But the other thing we're hearing is they're having record-breaking years.
Yes. Of course, right.
Right? I mean, they really are, and they can't staff the place enough. You know, they're understaffed right now. As you said, the great resignation, people have moved on.
Right.
We could have a long one-hour discussion on the reason for that. I don't know. So I'm actually more concerned about people being able to get away to the show with the staffing levels they are, right?
But then the other thing is, too, you know, over the course of COVID and now with the turnover staff, they've got a lot, there's a lot of new employees out there. Hence, that's why the core training is so important, right? So, you know, where, in, you know, to your question, a lot of times it was a an event where, you know, you'd have a big group and, you know, there would be a couple of people who were recognized for whatever they'd done that year. They were coming as well. But now, I mean, you can see where that same group can be intact, but they're going to break off and core is going to be very important to them. Because you're going to have, you know, someone, for example, who needs, you know, video surveillance 101.
Sure.
You know what? Perfect. Your entry level. But then you might have someone, you know, as Willie said, with more experience, want to go into data analytics or some of, you know, investigating gaming losses.
Right.
So, you know, that's why, you know, he's done it. So there's something for everyone in the training. And then, of course, the conference, I always think it's for everybody.
Yeah, the thing, after 3 years, I felt strongly that everybody needed to come back and get a realistic look of the operational threats.
Right.
You know, only a reminder, even if it's just awareness. And some of the speakers like Jeffrey Robinson and Michael Francesi and that, they've been very vocal in certain areas, right?
Right.
So we just want them to, after 3 years, come in and go, these are important. Yeah. We need to look at this.
Right.
And so forth. So, you know, as a comeback show, we wanted to find a way, first and foremost, is to bring people back together.
Yeah. Yes, right.
There's a lot of knowledge in the room. And I think the other shows that have been opening this year, they've found that too.
Yes.
Maybe their numbers were down. Maybe there wasn't as many vendors. Maybe people are still finding their way with merges and all that sort of thing. But, oh, my God, they just love catching up with people, peers in the industry, and talking shop. And it's so important right now, right, because there's a lot of craziness out there.
Sure, right.
There's a lot of these new COVID measures. They got to do this. There's all these new laws coming in. There's anti-money laundering. There's sports betting. There's online gaming and all these things. So everybody, the biggest question I get as a conference organizers, what is everyone else doing?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Sure. And that's what session on the third day is so important. That's actually what it's called.
Right.
What's everyone doing?
Right, yeah.
That really
makes sense. You know, I was talking to a HR guy the other day who's a consultant to the industry, and he was telling me that some companies are having trouble getting their people back. He said, but those are usually the companies that didn't treat their people right to begin with. You know, he said the ones that are not having trouble getting them back are the people who are companies where people felt loyal, felt like they were valued. You know, and I think that's something, you know, the companies could do by sending people to your show. You know, they could say, you know, we value you so much, we want you to be up to date on the latest trends and issues, so we're going to send you to the show. And I hope that some of the casino companies can do that, you know, even if it does mean, you know, less staffing for a few days anyway.
Yeah, look, bingo. And that's what we thought moving forward. I mean, we went over a period over the last few years. What's it all going to look like
right.
when you come back?
Sure.
You're going to be in need. People are just going to Zoom each other all the time now.
Right.
You know, we're going to get right information instead of
right.
some of the misinformation out there, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why it's important, because all these new people coming in, all this turnover, they're going to need training.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Right. And we want to be the ones that give them that training. So CORE is hopefully you're setting that up for the future. So people will know every year in February, there's a place they can go to get that basic training and all the other good stuff that comes with it.
Yeah, no question. So you do to extend, you know, pretty much beyond the security and surveillance field. For example, you've got a session on hacking and cyber attacks. You know, I was at my first conference last week in California. I went to an Indian gaming conference there, and they had a guy up there who was an expert in cyber attacks, and he was saying, you know, you have to like almost put a wall around your data. And he said it's even if you're plugged into a wide area progressive jackpot, you know, there's a little hole where they can send a cyber attack in, you know. And now when you talk about, you know, this cashless stuff, boy, there's all kinds of different data streams that are going in and out of your casino. So it was almost like, well, what can we do, you know? And you know, hopefully, you know, the person doing your hacking thing will have some suggestions on what you can do.
Yeah, the guy we've got, and every year, again, this is all about awareness.
Sure.
He's going to come and show us how he actually robs banks
right.
and robs businesses. And it's security related, right? Because
right.
he breaches walls through social engineering.
Yeah.
So they think very similar to like cheats and so forth, using distraction techniques and all that
right.
sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very similar, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The thing is, where does it fit with us moving forward? I mean, it's a good question. I sort of look around, and I think we had record-breaking amount of casinos
right.
actually shut down in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like it. But we definitely, as an industry, we do need to address this from even like not just the managers that come to our show, but full-on education for everyone in the organization that has a casino, right?
Sure.
So our guy is going to, you know, talk about that. And what can you do as a large organization? If you've got 1,000 computers and people logging in and log out, as you said, the threat from the outside is ever constant, right? So he's going to talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Peak family of top-performing cabinets by IGT are a culmination of years of research and development, a passion leveraging both internal expertise and customer feedback. The results are a series of astounding cabinets that command attention with sleek modern features, ergonomically perfected curves, and bold design. Every aspect of the Peak cabinets have been scrutinized to ensure a comfortable gaming experience, resulting in exceptional performance you can bank on. Learn more at igt.com/peak. Now back to our podcast.
So you put a piece out last week on casino crime, and you've been looking at casino crime for many years, and you noted that you haven't been seen much reporting on casino crime. What's your theory behind that?
Well, basically in my piece, I talked about actually casino crime is up, violent crime, sort of security related stuff, assaults,
mm-hmm.
all that, guns, all that sort of stuff, shootings and stuff like that, and stuff around the fringes. What is down is cheating. And I've had a discussion with a number of people in surveillance and in the industry about that. And they agree that it's actually rare these days. Every now and then you get a big one, like a collusion scam between staff, which is always the biggest threat. And of course, a few years back, we had the RNG scam and the slot machines. It seems to suggest cheating is pointing towards another direction, which is more electronic. And, you know, as we go more digital, and even the table games are becoming electronic, right?
This
is the kind of stuff we're going to have to keep up. But the basic stuff that you hear about, the pass posting and stuff, it happens in small doses, but not a lot. So I put that out, and, you know, the feedback was generally they very much agreed with it. And that was, I put that out really to show that we all need to pivot as an industry, that I think in the last 2 years, casinos have been fined close to $100 million around the world just for non-compliance of things like money laundering and stuff like that. And I've spoken to people like that, and it does seem there's been an increase in people trying to launder money. Where it used to be we just report it as a suspect transaction and you didn't really go anywhere. But now the case is, oh, no, these people are trying to turn their cash over. And, of course, if you look at the two big inquiries over the last year or so, the one in Crown in Australia and British Columbia, you know, these are big things that deserve a lot more attention from us, and that's kind of what surveillance is looking at. So the violent crime concerns me a little bit. It seems to me that, and this might come back to staffing as well, as everyone's struggling for staffing, of course you struggle in the security area, but it seems like a lot of people are being let into the casino. They're either intoxicated on drugs, or these follow-out robberies that are taking place where predators are coming to the casino and they're following our players home. And a lot of them are elderly, right?
Well, you know, this whole cashless thing could solve that. If you could deposit your money back in your bank account before you even left the casino, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
You know, and there's the irony, right? We're talking about the problems with digital cards. But I personally feel, and I'm a big fan of going digital, even on the table games. I love what's happening with the cash wallets. I can give you 20 reasons why it's a good thing for the industry. More accountability, more trackability, being able to get to know your customer. It would stop a lot of the cheating, a lot of theft, all these sorts of things. Yeah, we're going to have some teething problems transitioning to a digital gaming war, but we'll work it out, right? And I think in the end, a lot of these issues will be solved. I mean, we certainly don't want our players getting robbed and murdered on the way out the door, right?
Sure, absolutely. So so the last time we talked, and this was 3 years ago again, so it's a while ago, but we were talking about the equipment in a lot of the casinos. You know, they hadn't upgraded the equipment. You know, you were talking about, you know, one of the robberies on the Las Vegas Strip, and they showed the surveillance footage on TV, and it was like very poor quality. Has that improved since then? Are they paying a little more attention to the equipment nowadays on the casino floor?
So, good news, Roger. Yes, I believe it has improved. You know, Vegas still has some old school sort of grainy pictures. I saw some stuff last week and I was like, you know, you read all the comments on Twitter and you just cringe, right? Because this is our business. They still got that old stuff. But overall, things like a high definition and what we call 360 cameras, which allows you to get, you know, circular views of everything. I like football now, right? Generally, it's a lot better now. So technology, and I think technology's now that we got the hardware I think a lot of the people that come to our show are looking at software solutions, alert systems for like this money laundering and artificial intelligence type thing. I see, not looking too far ahead, but within the next 10 years, I mean, maybe the cameras will be able to, you know, pick up cheating and stuff through a little chip inside the camera. There's certainly companies out there that are looking at AI to protect the games.
And also to protect the people, too, because, you know, there's some AI-powered weapons detection systems that are out there. Which will actually be at our show. We've got a couple of different ones. So, I mean, there's a lot of tools out there that, as you said, you know, they're on top of this, but you know what? There's always more room in the toolbox, and always get the bigger toolbox.
That's a good point. One of the worst things that happened in the last 12 months was this shooting at Oneida,
right?
Where a disgruntled ex-employee came back to the property and killed two employees, and I think he shot himself or something. But that triggered in that region of the country, everyone went out and got the weapon detection systems.
Right, sure.
And they love them, because another trend that's sort of happening is casinos are having more events.
Yeah, sure.
They're setting up their ballrooms or their outdoor areas, and you know, that's a nightmare.
Right.
So a lot of people going in with all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and other properties and jurisdictions, they, even though they may say weapons are not allowed in here.
Sure.
You know what? Unless you've got something in place to detect those weapons, you don't know. It's an honesty box. Right, something goes astray. So it's a little bit different than what it is. Nevada's, you know, how their rules, everyone is different. Every jurisdiction is different. But yeah, that was definitely, I think, a catalyst for a lot of people to say, just because we say you can't have one, we best make sure that you're not bringing one in.
Well, that's, that's one of the reasons, again, I like to come to your show, because you see all the state-of-the-art equipment on the surveillance side and the security side as well. And you don't see that really at G2E or on these bigger shows, because they know, they can come to your show and attract those people that are going to really want to buy and make the decisions on what equipment they're buying. So, yeah, one of the reasons I like that, too. So tell us about some of the speakers you're having. I mean, we made reference to some of them, but, I know Bill Zender's doing something on your core training. Bill's writings for us once a month now, which is always great. He always brings his table game knowledge to the fore, and you're one of the best table game guys in the business. So who are some of the other speakers you got?
So funny you mentioned Bill. Bill has actually spoken at every show.
Yes. He's the only guy we've had.
He's a legend. He's a good friend of mine. But the good thing about Bill is he keeps up with the business. Yes. He's always working, and he's in touch with what's happening in the real world. And that's why we love him. Very lucky to have him as a core trainer, right? We've got Al Zajic, who I know also writes for you. Right? He's got Casino Cross. We got Dr. Larry Barton. Okay. Larry come and spoke after the Las Vegas massacre, and he's a world-renowned crisis management expert.
Right.
We're really, really lucky to have him.
Yeah.
So we're going to have our core team. We're going to have them every year.
Sure.
Is the hope. But some of our guest speakers, we've got Jeffrey Robinson. He's an international renowned expert on financial crimes and money laundering.
Right.
He's very outspoken on a lot of issues. He's also got a bit to say on Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and going digital.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Which is very, very relevant for our industry, because we're looking at those sorts of things, right? We've got the DEFCON, the cyber hacker. We've got a lady who heads a program against human trafficking in casinos. It's a relatively new program, and she's going to come and explain how the program works and how we can help them get rid of this human trafficking stuff, which is pretty terrible. We've got an ex-mob boss. Michael Francisi has been around for years. He got out of the mob, I can't remember how long ago, over 20 years ago.
Long time.
And he now goes out and lectures about some of the things he used to get up with. Primarily for us, I want him to talk about the sports betting and the match fixing and how they went around doing that. But also, he's a big advocate against problem gambling.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about, some of the issues that gambling brings. So he talks about a lot of stuff, actually, but he was very vocal this year, and he spoke in front of, I think it was the University of New Haven or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
And he warned against sports betting and getting too big too quick and all these things you got to look at.
He doesn't glamorize what, his past was.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's found a way to sort of weave it into, to learning lessons
from.
We got Arnold Schneider.
That's right, Arnold Schneider.
So for me, being a casino surveillance guy from the 80s, I learned so much from Arnold Schneider. Now, I've never met him. He's written a whole bunch of books Thank you, Arnold, for that. He's a legend in blackjack, right, specifically, but also an advantage play. And he's going to come and talk to Anthony Curtis, who's another legend gambler, right, a Las Vegas advisor, of course, very, very much up with the gambling scene. And they're going to talk about ways that these guys take advantage of casinos. And the interesting thing about Arnold was he's just released a book this year called Radical Blackjack.
Right.
He held the release of that for 10 years because of his friends saying, we don't want you to put that information because we're using it. So it's new information.
Right.
And he's going to talk about a lot of advantage players nowadays are taking advantage of not the advertised promotions that casinos have, but some of the programs that high rollers get offered behind the scenes, like loss rebate programs and stuff like that. Sure. He's going to talk about how he took advantage of programs like that.
So. Yeah, and he's got a lot of great stories too.
We've got a gentleman, Norman Beck. Now, Norman, not many people know him, but Norman speaks at the Warren Buffett's annual shindig that he has up over every year. He's a lot of things. He's a magician, but for the last 25 years, he's been a casino promotions insurer. Or any promotions, actually. Sure. Like, for example, if you a hole-in-one promotion for a golf tournament for a casino, he will do the odds in it, calculate it, oversee the procedures, make sure nobody's rigging it.
Right.
He's got a vested interest because he's got money behind it.
Right.
So he's going to talk about that. And at the end of the day, we've got Richard Turner, who's a bit of a legend with sleight of hand. He's many things also. They made a movie about him, Netflix movie in 2017 called Doubt. He's an inspiring man. He's a black belt in karate, and he's blind.
Wow.
So we're having him just to show people that if you hone your skills and your hands can do amazing things with the sea. The next day, we've got a scientist from the National Institute of Standards of Technology. He's going to give us the skinny on facial recognition.
This is going to be very interesting for everyone who is in the crowd who have recently purchased a facial recognition or looking at buying or any of these AI-powered products out there. We're very, very excited to have him there as well.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear that too, because I won't even do the facial recognition to turn my iPhone on, because I'm too nervous.
That's right, because you don't want someone to not that valuable, right? But no, because there's always a lot of talk around facial recognition, a lot of talk. A lot of people have ideas, opinions about it.
Sure.
This is not opinion based. That's what, this is a government agency, and this is exactly this is the only thing they do.
Yeah.
They run these tests, they put it all on a level playing field. So,
well, the thing with facial recognition, for about 20 years as surveillance guys, we've been very skeptical because a lot of vendors came along and it didn't really do what we wanted it to do, right? But lo and behold, a couple of years ago, the stuff started working.
Yeah.
And it works really good now. So a lot of vendors are in the market,
Sure.
To the point now that even the digital wallet people, they're looking at facial recognition.
Sure, absolutely,
their thing. So it's crossing over from security into customer service area, right?
It's an important session.
So these guys, it's a government organization, obviously, NIST, and they run these, they do the studies and research, and they actually rank all the top vendors and their products, and he's going to explain how they do that. But they also look at things, it's been controversial the last couple of years, the demographics. You know, if you have dark skin, it can be an
actor.
And of course, a big one this year was wearing face masks.
Mask, yeah.
Facial recognition. And apparently some are and some aren't.
Yeah.
And he's going to tell us which ones are and which one aren't.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's that. And then we have a gentleman from UK. UK and most European countries have used audio on table games for years.
Yeah.
And it's been very important for a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And a lot of famous cases, right? For some reason, we don't use it here in the States, right? Mm. So he's going to put a case forward to us. It's like, why wouldn't you?
Sure. Well, that would have been interesting to hear what Phil Ivey was talking to the dealer about, when he said, can you turn that card around,
It's funny you should say that. I'm not giving away any secrets at all. But it was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like you got a great program. I'm really looking forward to coming this year. I've been jonesing for the last 2 years of not being able to go. So how can people track down your conference and the program and the speakers and register for it?
Go straight to the website, worldgameprotection.com. It's a new look website. We think we've sort of not simplified it, but we've streamlined it, and everything is right there. Just scroll all the way down, register at the button at the top, and take you straight to the registration page. But the program is there, all the speakers are there. Yep. You know, click on a speaker, open it up. One of the other things we did this year, a little bit different, we've put like interesting links to go with the speaker. So it's like, we want people to know exactly who they're, we try to be transparent in everything we do. Right?
Sure.
So we can't tell you exactly word for word what the speakers are going to say, but we've got a good focus there. We've got some interesting links to go, you know, go check them out.
Yeah, we've also created a blog on the website because we know we've had a number of inquiries about the COVID policies. And we just tell them, well, this is what it is today.
Yeah.
But you check back next week. So whenever there is an update on the COVID policies, we will put that in the website. So we realized leading into the show that information, not only with our attendees, but also with our vendors. They're very important because everyone's on edge and stuff and they need that information.
So we think we're poised right in February. We think, because we wouldn't have planned it if we didn't think that people are going to be safe to come.
As I said, I went to my first conference last week and it was very comfortable. And if it's half that good, I think you're going to be fine. So thanks for joining us. It's really great to see you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in February, if not sooner. And I hope everybody else shows up too, and we all get back together safely and securely, and we learn a lot.
All right. Thanks so much, Roger.
Thanks,
Roger.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Thank you.
Cheers.
See you in February.
Enjoyed this week's GGB podcast brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance driven and player tested across the board. For more information, visit igt.com/peak. To learn more about security and surveillance, visit ggbmagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single edition of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.